Without exaggeration, I can say Janices Robinson is a living legend. The woman is a wine authority in capital letters. She's accumulated a string of awards with her wine books, which have a tendency to run about 1,000 pages each. So imagine the reactions when she came out with a little pocket-sized book, 24-Hour Wine Expert. Really? Become a wine expert in 24 hours? Look, if this works, it's pure gold for the holidays. Contributor Russ Parsons put her to the test.
Janices Robinson, welcome to Splendid Table.
Thank you.
The American Thanksgiving table is full of all of these paradoxical flavors. You know, the sweet tart cranberries, roasted turkey, vegetables, stuffing. It can make wine pairing a real chore. This is one of those kind of evergreen questions, but do you have any new insights to add to it?
Only that I think that too much is made of wine pairing. Even when you've got a simple dish, which Thanksgiving food certainly isn't. I hate it when people are made to feel they must strive to find the absolutely perfect match. Because if you get a wine that's not absolutely perfect with your food, what's the worst that can happen? You know, no thunderbolt from on high comes down to strike you dead. You can have a glass of water in between the mouthful of wine and the mouthful of food, or a little nibble on something neutral like bread. You know, but it really doesn't matter as much as I think some people suggest.
Well, that's a relief. This is also the start of kind of the holiday gift-giving season. And these days, with wine so popular, it seems like, you know, when you're stumped for something to get for someone, wine is kind of the default answer. So let's run through a couple of possible scenarios. What would be the best bottles to get for someone who knows a lot about wine, whom you'd like to impress? And conversely, what kinds of wines would you avoid in that case?
In general, I would say for a wine buff, the gold currency is probably an absolutely top champagne, because no one has an excess of Cristal or Dom Perignon, for instance. You know, it's always, I don't know anyone for whom it wouldn't be a treat to have a bottle of one of the most luxurious champagnes. And also, funnily enough, thinking about a more routine gift, not just the Thanksgiving gift, but something, bottles that are often given between wine professionals are bottles of really tip-top olive oil, just because, you know, we come across so much wine in our everyday lives that this is something out of the ordinary. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I love the idea of olive oil, because it's something in common with wine and with a wine table, but you don't have cases of it stacked up at home waiting to taste.
Exactly.
There's no obligation implied.
Yeah, and if you can supply a little story with it, you know, about the estate that it was grown on or something, then so much the better.
Another perennial problem at this time of year, you're asked to bring a bottle to a party. You know, you want something nice, but you know this isn't the right situation to do something really special. What kind of wine would you bring for that?
Well, I would say in that instance, then something a little bit out of the ordinary that you know something about, like from, you know, there are certain wine regions and wine producing countries even that are making fabulous wine at the moment, but aren't getting their full due in this country. Like, for instance, Chile is making some great wine, as is South Africa. And yet both those countries seem in the US to be tarnished with a slightly downmarket image. So I would go to my local wine retailer and say, can you recommend an interesting wine from the Southern Hemisphere and tell me a little bit of a story about it? They won't be desperately expensive, but they'll be infinitely more exciting than anything you'll pull off the bottom shelf in a supermarket.
Oh, that's a great suggestion.
And I always say that there are such strong parallels between booksellers and wine retailers and a knowledge about the product. And if you want to learn more about wine without investing masses of time in a wine course or something, establish a relationship with a local wine retailer. Go and tell them what you've liked so far, as you would say with a bookseller. You know, I like these books. What else can you recommend? And it's in the wine retailer's interest to recommend something that's like what you've liked, but a little bit more interesting or better value or something like that, and really cultivate that relationship.
Somewhat along those same lines, you know, if you're giving a party, you want to have a couple of cases of something quaffable because you know people are going to be drinking and not paying all that much attention, sipping and swirling. What kinds of wines are you looking for?
I would say you're looking for wines which are perennially underpriced, probably, in that, because I'm a strong believer in the fact that there is no direct correlation between wine quality and the price. There are overpriced wines and there are underpriced wines. And at the moment, underpriced wines, which are really, really easy to drink, would include Muscadet, that rather old-fashioned French wine from the Atlantic coast, which has been overlooked for many, many years, but is undergoing a bit of a quality revolution at the moment. But the prices haven't zoomed up. And you can find actually quite mature wines at good prices. So Muscadet would be a good white wine that is a kind of please-all, really. And it'll probably carry the name of a small domain on the label. So it kind of looks smarter, perhaps, than its price. And then the red wine equivalent of that could be Beaujolais. You know, we all went mad about Beaujolais Nouveau a decade or two ago and rather spoilt the reputation and image of Beaujolais. But it's got over that Nouveau thing and it's now making better and better wine with real fruit and concentration and integrity to it. And again, underpriced because it's been unfashionable and will probably carry a rather nice label that will look much smarter than it is.
Oh, that's great. So I've always wondered about this. As someone who tastes dozens of wines a day in the course of your trade.
Dozens, my dear chap. Hundreds.
What are you drinking for pleasure now?
It's so varied. I like roaming over the world of wine. But I suppose one constant, I've always loved Riesling. In fact, occasionally someone will say to me, what's it like having power in the world of wine? And I always say, I've been writing about wine for 40 years, and for 40 years I've been saying Riesling is the greatest white wine grape in the world, and it still doesn't sell. I know mine is a minority taste, but Riesling is fabulous because it communicates place, it lasts forever, much longer than a Chardonnay or a Sauvignon Blanc, for instance, and develops and gets better, and it's brilliant with food. Whereas a lot of these bigger, heavier, oakier wines are quite domineering. They don't get the saliva flowing. You know, they can be more difficult to flatter food.
That's wonderful. Jancis Robinson, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
Jancis Robinson is a master of wine and author of The 24-Hour Wine Expert. Russ Parsons is a longtime food writer and author of the classic How to Pick a Peach. Jancis gave us information from the book that could very well get you through the holiday season. It runs from matching wine to the occasion to crowd pleasers and bottles as gifts. Check it all out at splendidtable.org.